Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Was born of a virgin and lived a sinful life, sinless life. He bodily resurrected from the dead, and that he is not only just the Son of God, but he is God incarnate. Those are the prerequisites to show that you're in the body. Amen? So anybody who believes that is a part of the body. Now, you might get into, well, do they speak in tongues or do they believe in the supernatural? Some people don't. Some of them are afraid of that part of the body from the church. Many of them have actually said that that part of the scriptures has been fulfilled and therefore is not in operation. That's not really in scripture, but nevertheless, you can still fellowship with people who believe, as I said, they need to believe. Those are the essentials of the faith. And as long as a group believes the essentials, then we can have fellowship with them. Amen? So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, and it says, I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal, as to babes in Christ, fed with you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are not, still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. So here he's talking about just that. Even before the denominational world started, there are always splits because everybody had their favorite apostle. You know, some like Paul, some like Peter, some like John, some like James, some like Matthew, some like all the others, but some like Thomas. But Paul is trying to get them that all that stuff makes you carnal or fleshly or immature. So understanding that the body of Christ is one unit is an example of how we have taken off the old man and put on the new. Amen? So the next thing we look at here is that as a mature person, we recognize that we restore people. In other words, we bring restoration, whatever that might be, recognizing that they too are susceptible to the same temptation, or we who bring restoration are susceptible to being tempted in the same way. In other words, we don't look at somebody who's going through and say, man, how come they can't get over this? We understand that we can all be in that situation if we're not careful. If we get distracted or if we allow ourselves to wallow in some situation. I mean, the thing about life is there's always a new situation to be disgruntled about. I mean, if you haven't had one lately, just wait a while. Something will come up. And we have to learn to roll with the punches, if you will, and not allow life's circumstances and situations to bring us down spiritually. it's not that things don't bother us. Of course they, because we're people, we can be emotionally attached to whatever the situation might be. But we always have to keep our eyes on the Lord. And that's what Jane was talking about. You know, she's gone through a situation with her family and things going around her. But and it kind of tugged her, was trying to pull her down. But she stood up. She started to read, study, pray, and fellowship with her friends, talk with her friends. And as a result of that, she can feel herself coming out of that. And that's what we do as mature people. We understand that, yes, things happen. I mean, death in our family is usually the hardest thing to overcome. You know, my father died, and it wasn't as hard had he not been in the state he was in before he died, because he hadn't really regained his full capacity from the stroke. He was having a good time, but he couldn't really hardly remember anything. But every time you saw him, he was laughing, he was glad, he was talking about all the things he did when he was younger. So he was in a state that was not the state that I had known him just a few years prior to that. So when he passed on, it wasn't like, man, you know, obviously I miss my dad, but it wasn't as crippling as it might have been had it been something that was sudden. The stroke was probably more of a sudden shock than the other situation, because that's when he became pretty debilitated for a while. But we still have to learn to push past all those things and remember that God is still the center of our emotional well-being. Without God, we cannot learn to balance life. And so we need God to help us to balance. Amen? And he is the balance that we have to have in order to be properly balanced. The reason why we see so many people, you see it so much now, so many people are confused or have mental problems and all the things, is because there's no balance. There's nothing to balance the life of sin that they're in. They have not allowed God to fix the problems that they're in. And as a result, it causes all sorts of confusion. It causes all sorts of delusion. It causes people not to want to go home. It causes people to do things that they wouldn't want to do. So, but knowing that, as people that are mature in the faith, and when we get an opportunity to minister to people, let us always remember where we came from. Amen? Because if you never forget where you came from, you'll never be a judge of somebody who's struggling. Because we came, usually you come to Christ because of a struggle in your life. And if you keep that in mind, you'll always be able to continue to be grounded and rooted correctly. Next, we look at a mature person is a person of faith that is not easily dissuaded from what they believe. And the example the scripture gives is, of course, Abraham. Now, Abraham's story is so unique, because even though you had Noah, and Noah, I don't know if Noah might have actually still been alive when Abraham was around. I know Shem was. If you look at, you can count the years between Shem, which was Noah's son, and Abraham, and Shem was still alive. Noah may have still been alive. So even though there were people of faith during Abraham's time, most of the people had already gotten back to idolatry. And so as a result, God had called Abraham out of his clan to give him a promise, and because he wanted to give him a promise, he told him he had to separate himself. And as a result, he also promised that he would give him a son. And as a result of his promise that he would give him a son, Abraham had to figure out, well, is God able to do the impossible or not? Because when he was called, he was 75. And when he was told he was going to have this a son, I think he was in his 80s. And when his son finally came, he was 100. So, and Sarah was 10 years younger than he was, so she was 90 when her child was born. Now, that probably wasn't a big deal back in those days because many of them lived to be, you know, 200-300 years old. So having a baby at 90 might not have been a big deal. But in this case, the Bible says that she was past her childbearing years. But God did a miracle and caused her to conceive when she was not really able to conceive. And even she doubted whether God was able to do it in her own body, but after Ishmael was born, God spoke, "Great that you have a son, but that's not the one that I was talking about." And so he had to get back on the faith trail and believe that God was going to bring another child. And God said, "This time next year, you're going to have a son, and you're going to call his name Isaac. And in Isaac shall your seed be blessed." So Abraham had to hold on to faith regardless of how the circumstances dictated to him. He thought he had the promise in Ishmael, but God said, "No, that's not the promise."
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
And so we have to always remember, and so Romans 4:16 says, "Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who was the father of us all. As it is written, 'I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver," everybody say, "did not waver at the promise of God, promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform." Now, most of us are not believing as 90-year-olds for a son. Maybe Marquise might be, but but he's not 90, so he's still got hope. But so if you take the things that we trust or believe God for, it's nowhere near the scale that Abraham had to believe. There are some supernatural things had to happen. You know, Sarah had to be rekindled so she could bear a child. And he had to be rekindled so he could bear a child. So all these things had to happen, but he still held on to the fact that they would happen. So we have to remember that when God promises us something, it's not based on what we can do to get it to happen. It's based only on the fact that he promised. And we just have to hold on to the promise so that the promise will come to pass. Amen? So next we see that a mature person is able to teach and disciple those that are younger in the faith than they are. Everybody say, when you're mature, you can teach. And that's not always talking about from the pulpit, although that may come after, but you teach people, you show them, you instruct people, you advise people, you counsel people, because you have an understanding of the truth of God, and you can put the word together so that it applies to the lives of those that you speak life into. And that's why it's so important to know what the word teaches and how the word kind of helps us to discern between our problems and the circumstances that God wants us to thrive and prosper in. It's only by maturity, and it's only through understanding the word that you can do that. Let me just read Hebrews 5, 12 through 14 real quickly. And this is actually a negative example, but it also proves the point. Get this thing to work. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14 says this. It says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So he was saying that you should be a teacher, but for some reason you haven't gotten there. So that tells us that when you are spiritually mature, you should be a teacher or an instructor or a counselor or an advisor, even if it's only to your own family. Everything God does starts usually with the people around us. Amen? Our first converts usually are who? Your family members, right? You get saved and you want to tell your family members, your friends. So therefore, as you mature in the Lord, the first people you counsel and teach or instruct or give words of wisdom to are those that are around us. Amen? And let me see here. I'll do one more and then we'll close. The last point for today is that people that are mature are not novices in spiritual matters. Everybody say novice. Now, you guys know what a novice is? Everybody knows what a novice is? A beginner. Somebody that's not very experienced. So, by definition, a person that's mature in the faith is a person that's also experienced in the things of the faith. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 through 6 points this out. And Paul is giving the qualifications of what a leader or a bishop, he calls it a bishop. Some of us call them pastors, they're deacons or whomever. But he goes through some of the qualifications. Actually, let's start with one. It says, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So here we see a novice is a person that when they're put in a position, and we've all seen this, when a person gets a position that they really shouldn't be in, all of a sudden they become puffed up and very difficult to deal with because they think that they have arrived and therefore they can dictate to you what they feel is the right way, even though they don't really know the right way. We've had things like that happen at our jobs, people who get promoted, and all of a sudden nobody can tell them anything when 2 months before they didn't know anything. And so a novice is a person that is not only inexperienced, but they're subject to pride and they're subject to falling. Because as the scripture says, pride goeth before a fall. So when you are maturing in the faith, you have to understand that in order to be in the right position, you also have to be mature enough to understand the position and not, you know, probably the biggest test of a person, if they're ready for the person, is that they really don't want the position. It's the ones that really want the position you got to be careful about, because most of it, they just want the authority of the position and don't understand what that position represents. So we always have to remember that being inexperienced, although we all are inexperienced to a certain extent, we have to become more experienced and better versed in the things of God so that we, when we are promoted, God knows how and where to put us, and we're ready to receive that position. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand. So any prayer requests, any needs that we want to pray for? Yes, ma'am.
Pray for Erlene. She has her surgery tomorrow.
Okay. Erlene's going to be in surgery. Anybody else? Jane? All right, great. All right, well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you are maturing each and every one of us in the faith. And Lord, I pray for Erlene, and we speak your word over her life. And Lord, we command this surgery to go well and proper, and that everything that needs to happen will happen. But Lord, we take the healing out of the doctor's hands and put it in your hands. And we ask that you would touch her body, restore her body, heal her body, remove what needs to be removed, and put in it, in her body, what needs to be put in there. And Lord, we pray, Jane wants wisdom for not only her, but also her daughter, Unique. And Lord, we all pray for wisdom. We all pray for insight and understanding, because your word says, if with all our getting, get wisdom and get understanding. So, Lord, we ask that you would give us wisdom in our daily walk, our day-to-day dealings with people, so that we can show the world that you give men, all men, wisdom that ask you, and you do not deny anyone who comes to you and asks for wisdom, because your word says that you would not do that. So thank you, Lord God, for this word. We ask that you would seal it in our hearts. Help us to walk in the truth so that we could continue to mature in the faith. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. So Wednesday we will be having Bible study. We will be in 1 Samuel still. I think we're on 25, if I'm not mistaken. So we're almost done there. And
we thank you for listening to today's sermon. And we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.